This morning, call the Simpson County Board of Supervisors to order this morning. Wendy, roll call.
Oh, let's see. There it is. Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm here.
Supervisor Ogre.
Present.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Here.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
Supervisor Howe.
Present.
And did you do flag salute yet?
Not yet. Joanne, you lead us. And flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think I saw Mr. Bradley here. Good morning.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to come together in this place to conduct the business of the county. We thank you for the great celebration we've had for the 250 years of America. We thank you for the freedoms that we truly enjoy, and it's because people get involved in government. I pray this morning for the wisdom for each member of the Board of Supervisors. We always know there's difficult decisions that need to be made. We pray for them. We pray for their integrity. We thank you for their professionalism. And Father, we're grateful for citizens who want to speak and share their ideas and thoughts. And that what makes us a great nation. We give you thanks for allowing us to live in a place like this. And for all things that we are blessed, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I did forget my announcement.
I know.
The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Siskiyou Power Authority, and In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, and receives no additional compensation.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. We will move to public comment. Item 4. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments, and please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I'd like to make a statement too. This board is well aware of, I think a lot of people are here because of data-centered discussion. We are well aware of the community's opposition to that with the voluminous letters and phone calls that we've received in the last 2 weeks. With that said, we have nothing pending before the county or county departments regarding data centers. My view, it's all generated out of the city of Mount Shasta, and there's no business as such before the county. So with that said, if you are going to speak on that, I'd ask to fill out a blue card, and I'll call your name for 3 minutes of presentation. First comment I have up actually is Supervisor Kopsev.
So just in honor of starting our 251st year of the United States, I'm take 3 minutes and just start to read the Declaration of Independence and finish in 3 minutes towards the end. I know I won't get through it all. So with that, I'll begin. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, July 4th, 1776. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate, the equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it or to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall deem the most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not change for light or transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariable the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries, usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. And I'm going to go to the very last part. There's much more in between, but I only want to take the 3 minutes. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are of right ought to be free, independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown and all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain. It is and ought to be totally dissolved. As a free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts, things that which independent states may have the right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Thank you.
Just some quick comments, please. Sure. Thank you, Supervisor Kopsa, for that. It was a little side note of history here. They just found a copy of that of a declaration in back in England. They were doing an archives thing.
Oh, really?
Folded it up. I mean, so you know, just how that all. I love history, so that's the best part of that. Mm-hmm. And then just for the people that are here for data centers, whatever. I will tell you, this is probably as big a thing that blew up so quick, so fast. I will tell you that I watched the city council meeting in the city of Mount Shasta, where a comment was made about a call or whatever. I have not received any calls, but I tell you, the following Tuesday, I spent all day answering phone calls, one after another, probably almost 60 calls against. I was already data center 101. Morph because I'm involved with the National Association of Counties with the IT, telecommunications, that kind of thing. And I will tell you, I'm now at 102 because it's just like up in my game. I understand all the concerns, whatever. People are asking, where am I at? There's nothing in front of me to make a decision. There's no nothing here. Nothing on the agenda. No discussion being had. With that said, I've suggested to the mayor of the city of Mount Shasta, how about if we have a town hall, which I would be happy to participate, so we can come up with what you folks would like to see. Because I'm grateful that you're here, because I think what you don't see is what we do as a board day to day, week to week. It's never about one item, if you will, particularly about something that is not what we don't have a discussion on. We just went through a tough budget cycle. We have mental health issues. We have HR1 issues that are going to come, you know, state budgets in duress. So I just want you to know that it's not just one item that we deal with. It's multiple things. And I'm grateful that you're here. And I hope you will take the time, if you came up here, to stay up here and go through a full board meeting and to see what we deal with on a regular basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So with that said, I only have two blue cards, so if you turn those in over here, I can call on your name. First, I have Glenn Kaufman from the city of Mount Shasta. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, my name is Glenn Kaufman. I'm a small business owner and homeowner in Mount Shasta City. I come here today with seven copies of an 18-page proposal for a large-scale integrated aquaponics and hydroponics operation that produces certified organic leafy greens, herbs, premium vegetables, and high-value fish protein year-round, not to mention about 800 pounds of premium certified organic compost and animal feed as the main waste product. I call it Mount Shasta Organics. The property at 210 Ski Village Drive is already zoned for agricultural use, and once built and operational, this business would employ approximately 30 full-time positions with dozens of ancillary employment opportunities and would be fully operational by year two, injecting approximately $2 million per year in wages into the local economy. And within 5 years, producing an $8.5 million per year revenue stream, not to mention the enormous county tax revenue boost. Mount Shasta Organics would literally be the most water-efficient food production system available today at a commercial scale, with a 98% water recirculation rate and a daily water usage of less than 10,000 gallons per day, which is less than 2% of what a bottling plant or data center could use. Capable of supplying a variety of 100% organic leafy greens and herbs, freshwater prawns, trout, tilapia, and even microgreens, dulse, and spirulina, Mount Shasta Organics would be a year-round, climate-controlled operation fully contained within the existing building footprint with absolutely zero synthetic waste or discharge. Mount Shasta Organics could be structured as a multi-stakeholder cooperative venture that distributes profits back to its members rather than outside shareholders. With an estimated population of 40,000 folks for Siskiyou County and a proposed 25% participation rate amongst the county population, a one-time lifelong membership fee would range about $400 per person. By year five, co-op members would see yearly dividend checks in perpetuity, mind you, at a rate of approximately 12% growth per year on their initial one-time membership fee. SBA, USDA, and state agricultural development grants, including dedicated cooperative development funding, is available for approximately 70% of the $13 million acquisition and startup costs, with co-op membership and investment equity making up approximately 30%. And to give this proposal a kick in the pants, I have registered and will offer up the domain name MountShastaOrganics.com. Pure water, clean air, good vibes. Mount Shasta Organics. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just need
appreciate that well thought out presentation.
Five. Here's a six.
Next, I have Heidi George. Good morning.
Good morning. Dear Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, my name is Heidi George, and I live in Mount Shasta, in the county, about a half a mile from the Crystal Geyser facility. I serve as a volunteer leader in an effort to reduce the risk of wildfire in my neighborhood. I am representing myself and not that FireWise community. I would like to show my support for annexing the Crystal Geyser land and facility to the city of Mount Shasta. And I also want to illustrate another option for a data center. Early this year, I became aware that the California Climate Investment Program had a grant opportunity for a regional factory-built housing and deployment pilot program. I think that building housing might be a good fit for our community for many reasons. It could provide a range of job opportunities and income, a needed source of skill development, and be a source of community pride. Some of the objectives for the grant are community support for such a project and that there is an identified need for housing. The Mount Shasta City General Plan, Goal HO5, support the development of affordable housing, and Goal HO6, encourage sustainable development and energy conservation, speaks to both of these criteria. This is the third grant window for applications that has been provided by the state for factory-built housing. The criterion for a suitable applicant is extremely rigorous, as there is significant funding available to the recipient that meets these objectives. If a recipient is selected, an initial grant for a feasibility study will be awarded to the applicant in August. At that time, I hope to liaison with the recipient for the purpose of having the Crystal Geyser facility be considered. From the concern I have about wildfire in my neighborhood, I would like to feel assured that if this facility should experience fire, that we have the resources available to fight that fire with an acceptable level of risk. I feel confident that we do. Given any repurpose of the Crystal Geyser facility, I would like to feel that same confidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jack Trout.
Good morning, Council, Board of Supervisors. Thank you for having this meeting. My name's Jack Trout. I've been a business owner in Mount Shasta for 33 years. I own four businesses and just started FilmMountShasta.com. I felt it necessary to actually add revenue with the amount of prices of things that have been going up the last couple of years. But the reason I'm here is because I've been actually going up to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and meeting with people there that run the festival. And they're somewhat interested with a $42 million budget to possibly expand. 80% of their members actually are outside of the Ashland area, and they actually, many of them drive through Dunsmuir and Mount Shasta on their way up to shows. They always have a rotating program. It happens year round. They actually bring productions from other areas of the country. They hire big time actors. They've had the New York Times comes out every year. That's who I was with. And they gave us a tour. And the next day I received an email from them with added interest in Mount Shasta. I mean, can you imagine if we had some kind of Coliseum, auditorium area where people could they could actually have their theater expand into our area. Not to mention, we would need prop builders, catering. They provide housing for the actors. So I just think at this point, it's very new. It's very infant in its development. But I am talking to them about this, and it could just be another option. I think the reason why the One Shasta LLC building is so important to the residents of Mount Shasta and why this was such a gut punch is that most of us feel, what will our community be defined as by this certain project? What will we be known for? Are we going to be known for a data center town? Are we going to be known for a hydroponics town? What a great idea. You know, are we going to be known for more housing, theater? Whatever it is, I hope it's something positive that benefits the community and also benefits the youth. It keeps kids around that are proud, that feel that they don't have to leave our county to make it. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Peterson. I've never done this before, and I just want to read off some statistics, basically. Let's start with One Shasta LLC. This is a Southern California business, investment group, and it includes develop, acquisition, ownership, and management. Its core business activity is real estate investment. The NSA one. And I'm just, again, this is my first time. Be patient. And you probably all heard this. Data centers consume enormous amounts of electricity and water. In 2023, data centers use 4% of the nation's electricity, with projections rising to 6 to 12% by 2030. The high demands constrain local utilities, drive up residential costs, and even deplete nearby wells. My family's been here for 120 years plus. I live across the street from Crystal Geyser. And I just don't want to see that. The biggest problem with me, too, is residents near data centers face noise and light pollution from construction, diesel generators, HVAC systems, with noise levels sometimes exceeding 90 decibels. Now, let's keep in mind, a regular rock concert, music festival type thing, has on average 90 to 120 decibels, 24/7, 365 days a year. Ooh. Data centers can threaten electrical grid stability, causing cascading outages, and if facilities disconnected unexpectedly, which in that area it happens all the time, erratic voltage spikes, or what they call bad harmonics, can damage household appliances and increase fire risks. We've been saying fire a lot today, haven't we? Cybersecurity is another critical concern. Modern data centers, rely on interconnected operational technology, making them vulnerable to attacks and can disrupt power, cooling, and critical services. Now, this one really kind of scared me. In Ohio, law lets data centers operators withhold plant blueprints from the firefighters expected to protect them. State laws fact-tracking private power projects have created dangerous blind spots. The Norwich Township in Ohio, the fire chief there has raised alarms that companies classify on-site power plant designs as trade secrets, blocking first responders from accessing detailed facility plants. A single hyperscale facility can consume as much electricity as 100,000 homes. Dense electronics, massive battery packs, proprietary layouts, these rank among the most complex fires any crew can face. The complex does not clock out at 5 o'clock, by the way. It's 24/7, day in and day out, all year round. Just a few more stats, I got 9 seconds. In closing, I would just like to say that everybody I know, since I've been here so long, everyone I know is going to fight this until the end. We do not.
Shasta, but you don't look like him.
We're around.
Yes.
Hello, Chair, Board. I'm Mark Rogers. I'm a new resident in Siskiyou County. I'm originally from El Dorado County. I grew up in South Lake Tahoe, and I watched over the last 30 years as Tahoe went from a small communal town that was focused on the environment and essentially living in harmony with the area, to selling out and then now being overrun with tourists and garbage and those kind of things. So I've seen the impact of when small local towns, mountain towns like this, begin to branch out and need to create more revenue, and the direction that you go with that will really depend on like the future and the outcome, and what's going to happen in the future. So I have some ideas, like a lot of people here obviously have. One would be an easy, donating the land back to a tribe, and then dealing with the Federal Bureau of Gaming Regulations and getting a ancillary casino that was under tribal management into the location, if we're focused on revenue generation, because I know you guys said you had a hard fiscal cycle or something. So I know this is like, you know, drumming up a lot of support and interest in a asset that is Siskiyou County's, and its management is really important. Also, there's it's already a bottling facility, so reaching out to brewers like Gekkikan Sake or, you know, other kombucheries or other kind of water adjacent type of facilities. I mean, the facility's already set up for that. We supply local jobs, and you know, it's kind of an easy like shift towards that. Also, it's could be a good cold storage and regional food distributor. It's already got, you know, part of the infrastructure to convert that. It's close to I-5. There's also rail line access that could be reestablished with the facility, so you could have that kind of stuff. That, you know, there's just a lot of other things, and I know it's not on the agenda. There's things, and you know, it kind of blew up really quickly, and you can see the opposition to it. But a lot of small places right now, these data centers are getting shoved down people's throats. And they're, even though they're saying no, the local communities, they're getting pushed through anyways. And that's just something we're not going to see happen in this place, because it would, I mean, it'd destroy one of the best, most, you know, serene places in the country.
Thank you. Regina Chichizola. Good morning. Long time no see.
I know, I was going to say, I know you. I'm just waiting. Okay. Hi, my name is Regina Chichizola. I am a long-term resident of Siskiyou and Humboldt counties, and I live in Somsbar, way down the Klamath River. I'm here today to ask the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to consider a data center moratorium or ban for the whole county of Siskiyou. And the reason being is our serious water issues, which I'm sure everyone's aware of in this county. I've been working on Klamath, Scott, and Shasta River water issues now for 30 years, and I've seen the climate get drier and drier since I've been here. And I know that impacts the fish in the downriver communities and recreation, but it also really impacts our farmers here. And we're trying to find solutions, and we're trying to find a truce within these issues, but it's really hard when you have threats like data centers coming in. I've also worked on the Sacramento River and the upper Sacramento River on water issues for the last 15 years. And we have all these issues on the Sacramento River too, especially when it comes to cold water. And what Siskiyou County has that a lot of places don't have is cold water springs that can still produce water during climate change. And we cannot squander that resource on something like a data center, which uses massive amounts of water for cooling. Also, you know, I cover water issues all over the state, and I'm very aware that these data centers also, when they come in, really do make it so that local municipalities are stretched, and it makes it so that everyone's power bills go way up. And so, you know, I'm concerned that if the Mount Shasta site doesn't work out, because no one wants it, that then they'll try to look over here in Wairika, in the Klamath River, the Shasta River, cities like Montague. I think you guys are very aware we all have water issues. We have issues accessing clean water. And during drought years like this, there's really serious issues with having enough. So with that said, I think there's a lot we can work out in Siskiyou County. There's a lot I think we do agree on, you know, fire prevention, trying to keep our rural communities alive, trying to keep people coming here. But I think we can hopefully all agree that having another giant industrial business that uses so much power and so much water and will greatly raise our bills is not something we can afford in this county. So with that, if the county is interested in a moratorium while we look more seriously at this issue, or in a ban, I want to say that I would volunteer to help.
I could do research as far as trying to figure out what's worked for other counties, but I think we just need to take a hard look at this issue before we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Bobby and Ron Holman.
Good morning. We're grateful to be here, and we're grateful to be amongst the community of people that we witnessed on the 4th of July
parade. Thank you so much for having us.
Open to independence and open to creative energy. So what we'd like to do is recognize...
I need names for the record, please.
I'm Roberta Holman, and this is Ronald Holman.
Thank you.
It's Dr. Roberta and Dr. Ron Holman.
Thank you.
So we're so grateful. We actually sent this letter out to each one of you. We're grateful to be a part of this vision and to reconsider that for our future generations, a data center is not going to be what we want to stand for as a community. Our community is solid, it's strong, and it's ecological and ethical.
You need to address the board.
And not the audience, please.
Yes?
Address the board and not the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were all involved.
No, you're involved right now.
Well, what we'd like to propose is something that would offer the community a Mount Shasta Environmental Restoration and Water Stewardship Program, a stewardship center that would be a nonprofit public benefit campus for water quality and for watershed science, as well as spring protection, forest restoration, fire resilience, and native plant propagation, and also our youth education.
So I like some of the ideas that others presented. And personally, I'd be interested in anything other than a data center. And if it was a community nonprofit, I would be in a position to contribute a significant amount of money to that. So our idea has to do with a Earth and Future Generation Center, a community benefit development dedicated to water protection, indigenous partnerships, ecological restoration, generative agriculture, clean energy resilience, and healing education.
With all the possibilities of creating climate resilient food, medicinal plant hub, also partner with our indigenous-led cultural groups and ecological healing center. Connect and partner with these local tribes, especially given the long opposition to the bottling company in this area. We can honor water as sacred and not extractive.
So the idea revolves around an indoor-outdoor regenerative agriculture, seed banking, medicinal herb cultivation, mushroom cultivation, that would be non-psychedelic mushrooms, of course.
In Mount Shasta, you have to mention that.
And local food scrutiny. This aligns with ideas local officials have already floated as a hydroponic farming and environmental conscious venue.
So, in sum, this vision would create jobs. It would protect the aquifer, support educational tourism, and serve local families, and make Mount Shasta a world model for water quality, sacred ecological redevelopment, rather than another extractive industrial project.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Community out. I'm very new to the county. I've been in Mount Shasta 3 years.
Your name, please?
Oh, Tricia Matthews,
thank
and
you.
I'm a resident of Mount Shasta. I happened to buy a home across the street from the plant, so I followed my son here. So I've only been in the area 3 years. I don't feel like I can speak for the community at all. I followed my son here, who works for Caltrans, but I've been involved in several of the nonprofits since I've been here, and I love all of the ideas people have proposed, and I understand the bottom line is money and revenue, I don't think anyone, even including yourselves, really wants a data center here, but I understand we need money. And I think all of the things that people have proposed are incredible ideas. I know there's a ton of money right now being given out to land trust partnerships with indigenous communities. Mackenzie Bezos has given out millions and millions of dollars. So my proposal is that we find a way to partner with the tribes to create a community land trust that could include all of the things that people have mentioned or a combination of them, a mixed-use facility that could incorporate Jack Trout's idea with the Shakespeare Festival. There could be a resort there with regenerative systems that the people could come in and see a model city showing how to move forward. Because I think the whole country is in this situation. It's not just this county. Where I grew up in the Midwest, it's being taken over right now by a massive data center and no community involvement. They say there's going to be community involvement, and that's not what happens. They bring labor in from the outside. They call it union. They take over the seats so that no one can speak. I feel like we have our local governance is on the side of the community. And I think that there's a lot that can be done to investigate partnerships with people who are already giving money out to create regenerative programs, both economically and environmentally, in rural communities. This is happening in other places. I have just started doing the research, and like others have said, I will volunteer my time to help in any way. But there could be partnerships that also have the local students coming over to do apprenticeships and learning. There could be hydroponics, indoor food grow. But it could really be something that sets a model for the rest of the country, because we sort of have to dig ourselves out of this one way or another. And this is not the only community, like I said. And I'm just happy to be here and put my voice in. And thank you so much for your time. And again, I would happily volunteer, but I know the money is out there, especially when there's a partnership with a land trust that's in partnership with indigenous tribal governance. Thank you so much.
I'm Holly.
Tomas.
Tomas.
It's Hungarian. I'm married to German. It's actually Thomas.
Well, nobody pronounces my name right either. It's German too.
But whatever. So I have two handouts. One's a public advocacy packet. The other one is, I just found a lawsuit in Imperial Valley City. I don't know if you're aware of it. Yes, 750,000 gallons.
One of two data centers.
Yes.
I'm quite aware of that.
Yes, I figured, and I have handouts for everybody else. So my name is Holly Tomas. I'm actually from Sacramento, Granite Bay. And I'm here because the Sacramento River provides two-thirds of the water to the state of California. So this data center just doesn't impinge, you know, this community, which would have a devastating effect, but everywhere else. So, and I want to be clear, I'm not asking the county to make a decision based on rumors, fear, or social media. I'm asking the county to require transparency, full disclosure, and lawful environmental review before any formal or informal commitment is made. This site is not just another industrial property. It is adjacent to Mount Shasta, near sensitive water resources, has a history that already required public environmental review. The public has a right to know who the applicant is, what the company is behind the proposal, whether factual or not, the actual project is, however, how much water it will use, how much electricity it will require, what backup power systems it would be installed, and what actual long-term benefit would come back to Siskiyou County. That's all about numbers of money. I'm a business owner. A data center is not a minor use of an old building. It can create major new impacts, water demand, grid demand, backup generator emissions, noise, heat, construction traffic, wildlife and emergency response concerns, and pressure on local infrastructure. I respectfully request that the county require at a minimum identification of the applicant, a complete project description, independent water and groundwater analysis, disclosure of electrical and demand infrastructure upgrades, disclosure of cooling technology, full air quality and noise analysis, wildfire and emergency response review, and an independent economic benefit analysis. Most importantly, I ask the county to require a CEQA review at a level appropriate to the scale of the proposal. If substantial evidence supports a fair argument that the project may have significant environmental effects, The county should require a full environmental impact report. This community deserves facts, not speculation, the public deserves transparency, not private negotiations, and any project affecting our water, electrical infrastructure, emergency services, and community character deserves the highest level of public review. The burden should be on the applicant to demonstrate with independent scientific evidence that the project will not harm our water resources, our environment, our electrical infrastructure, or quality of life. Until those questions are answered in the public on record, I respectfully ask the county not to move forward on this project or even consider it, enact a 2-year moratorium on the sale of the Crystal Geyser facility to anybody, and to study the full impacts. I have to tell you, I am from Sacramento and I'm part of the county, and this is my first board meeting, and just from the energy I got here, that's kind of a weird word, that's not what I'm into, but I feel that you are more transparent than the one I came from. So I'm coming from a different perspective. So I appreciate the fact that you do a prayer. It was nice. You cannot do that where I come from. And you could have never done the Declaration of Independence for my county, unless we have, you know, hurt some people. So I appreciate that, and thank you for your time.
I have Nate DeTomasi. Is that? I can't make out the first couple of words.
DeTomasi.
Sorry.
Hello, I'm Nate DeTomasi. I live at 205 Ski Village Drive, which is directly across the street from the plant. I could throw a rock at it, probably break a window. I'm kind of shooting from the hip here. I got in on a really late flight last night after visiting my grandparents. On that flight, I had the pleasure of meeting someone from Georgia. And he's from one of the towns that has been kind of the epicenter of these data centers taking over, especially in an area that has very little oversight for them. And he warned me and told me that once they start, they will not stop. And that is what they've been experiencing there. The whole state has basically been playing catch-up, trying to basically form kind of citizen, you know, posses that are going in and suing and kind of finding all these environmental risks after the fact that these plants have already been made. So his warning was very clear to me. You know, we need to really, really pay attention to what's happening around the country before we even consider something like this, because right now there's really not enough data about these things. That being said, I recently got a copy of the environmental impact report that locals in Mount Shasta obtained themselves during the Crystal Geyser when they were trying to create that. And basically it shows that right where my house is kind of the most impacted by diesel emissions. A facility of that size, a data center, can use 20 to 100 megawatts of energy. If, I don't know about you guys, but I live in Mount Shasta and our power goes out almost constantly. I mean, every month the power goes out. Mm-hmm. That entire facility would be running off diesel generators, which the emissions for those, I mean, diesel exhaust is 1 micron, which 2.5 microns is small enough to pass the blood-brain barrier. This is more, way more impactful for children in the area, whose, like, you know, lungs are still developing, brains are still developing. So this can be a very, very dangerous thing. You know, we might not think about them running these diesel generators all the time, but I have a feeling they would be running them quite frequently. Yeah, that's really like my biggest concern about this thing. Also, I mean, the water, obviously, like, we're coming out of a huge drought in California. If we allow this plant to use that amount of water for these computers, another massive fire breaks out in Siskiyou County. Are they going to stop using that water so we can fight that fire?
Your time's up.
Thank you.
For everybody out there, this, and for someone came up from Sacramento who doesn't know this board. We have very, very long, extensive processes with the public on any permit that's put before us, following the CEQA process, but any complex project often takes more than 2 years, primarily because it would first go to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission then does their deliberation with the public before this board even sees a proposal. Then we often, sometimes will take a year or more in analysis through the CEQA process to go through all the public comment. An example in my district, two projects that I took on that were languishing 12 years ago when I first got into office, finally culminated last year. It took that long because of the public issues, and I'm happy to say that because of public comment, both those proposals are much stronger today than they ever were. So we, this board, will always listen to the public and always address what we can as best we can under what's under the law. That has been my guiding principle as the chair and the 12 years I've sat in this seat. I will follow the law. Behind the scenes politics and that kind of stuff, I really have no tolerance of. And I'm very well aware of Sacramento. My sister lives there. That's a good one.
Comment.
Yeah, one on line.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sammy, Jerry, you should be able to unmute yourself now.
Are you there?
Sammy, Jerry.
Well, unfortunately, technically, if we can't make the connection, we can't make the connection.
Something she just unmuted.
Yeah. Are you there? She has her hand up.
Sammy Jerry, we cannot hear you through your microphone.
Okay, I'll have to move on now. Sorry. I'm going to move on to item 5, which is consent agenda. And I have a request from administration to drop consent items 5C and 5D. Other wishes of the board?
5C and D?
C and D. Charlie and dog.
And drop those from the agenda.
Correct.
Thank you.
So I'd like to pull 5E is an elephant.
Thank you.
Okay. Any others? Looking for a motion on the...
Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Second.
All right, Wendy.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye. Supervisor Cobbsa, item E.
Item E, this is finally the data sharing agreement that we've been working on with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And while I know we're ratifying this, we've already signed this, I just want to highlight a concern for me was on 7.4 with regard to the county's failure to perform and neglect or negligent acts of its personnel that we could, you know, bear costs of up to $25,000. I just want to make it clear that we are actually doing the work of California's Department of Fish and Game, our trappers. Everybody that's involved on this data sharing agreement is on the county dime. It's not on the state dime. And I don't mind this so much if it also fits the Department of Fish and Wildlife and not just the county. I don't want our people to get squeezed into a place of California Fish and Wildlife says X, and we were not the ones that were neglectful. We were accused initially of sharing this agreement When we found out later, it was actually the Department of Fish and Game that had shared it when it was under confidentiality. So while I support this, it's been a long time coming. I just want to make a few points on this that, again, we're doing the work of Cal Fish and Wildlife on our dime, not the state's dime, and they should be stepping up to the plate to manage the wolf population. Thank you. With that, move to approve.
Second.
Give me just a second here.
Wendy, I have a motion and a second.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
And Supervisor Houck?
Aye. Moving on to 6A, Siskiyou Economic Development Council. And I have a minor revision to be included in the motion when we approve this from council. It's in 2 on the second page.
On the resolution, page 2?
Yes, the second paragraph of 2. The end says authority of the chair of the board of supervisors. We need to strike chair of the, and just make it board of supervisors.
And do we have a new hard copy resolution that can be signed?
Council does.
Okay, thank you.
Please bring that to you. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
I think we're
members
ready.
Of the Board of Supervisors. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Tanya Dowse, and I'm with the Siskiyou Economic Development Council. I'm joined this morning by my colleague, Jen Thackeray, and we will have some tremendous support by the Director of Siskiyou County Community Development, Haley Banks. We thank her for her support as well. We're here to update you on the process for applying to be a designated federal opportunity zone in the state of California. This has been in the works for many months. We have currently some opportunity zones that exist in our county, but this is what's being referred to as Opportunity Zone 2.0. It was made permanent by the big, beautiful bill at the federal level that create these incentive programs to promote investment. The application process is being led by each of the states across the country, and we, Jen and I, and members of our team have been participating in the process with the state of California and the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development for so many months now in preparation for this moment in time. We are here to share with you that the application window is very short. We just have 3 really short slides, you guys, and all it does is give you a little bit of information about the program, so it's really not guiding my comments. Maybe it should be. The application window is very short for making our nominations. We have 12 eligible census tracts that can be nominated in Siskiyou County. The state has asked that the county submit the proposed tracts. It's not required, it's recommended, and we support you in submitting those tracts. We are working on developing the competitive criteria that creates eligibility and supports the submission of these recommended and eligible tracts. It's going to be a very, very heavy competition for this